It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you?
Atamaria, Rachel, I am good, thank you. It's quite warm, and for this time of the year, which makes me worry that maybe all those forecasts of a dry spring are going to come true.
Mm.
We're creeping up in the dam level, but it just amazes me. I see the flooding up north, worst in 500 years. Coromandel got another 400 mils the other day. I'm sitting on the edge of the Hoonuas, and it was a dry night the night that it flooded in the Coromandel. So it's tough, but we're keeping our demand down, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 10 million litres a day less than our target, and we're slowly creeping up, but if we have a dry spring, we're still going to face pretty severe water restrictions in the summer. So, that's the life we're living at the moment.
Yeah, sort of the state of play. You've been quite critical in the last week of WaterCare. You sort of said that you wish they'd told you a little bit earlier about the budget deficit that we're seeing and perhaps been a bit more communicative. Why exactly are you concerned about that?
Yeah, look, I'm not blaming WaterCare for not knowing they were going to have a 1 in 200 year drought. I didn't know that, and I don't think anybody was advising us that was going to happen. But I think we obviously needed to have some stronger strategic thinking, and that's a reflection on council as well as on WaterCare. We need to make sure, water supply together with electricity, I mean, they're two fundamentals. And what you've got to plan is not a just-in-time policy, which is how WaterCare has been working, and I understand why they've been working that way, but you've got to plan to have that resilience in the times when we're going to get conditions like we've had in the last year. We've had two, last winter, driest on record, this summer and autumn, driest on record. And with the changeable weather conditions, you know, in part influenced by climate change, you just don't know what you're going to have. So you've got to, I think you've got to build in more resilience to the system. Mm. And we'll do that. We're doing that exactly now. We've got basically broad approval from groups in the Waikato that we'll take another 75 million litres as soon as we can, and a winter draw of another 100 million litres. Well, that then exceeds the capacity we have in the water treatment plant. What I guess worried us is that, partway through the budget consultation, after we went out to consultation, suddenly we find that, partly because of our success in getting the water, I guess, that there's a $224 million capital program that we'll have to put in place this financial year. And, on top of the $500,000 that we'd lost in COVID-19, suddenly faced with a $750 million deficit, that makes this, that's why we call it the emergency budget. It makes it the toughest budget we've ever had to face.
That kind of segues quite nicely into something I wanted to touch base on, which is that Auckland councillors have passed the 3.5% rates rise in the emergency budget. Now, this was the one that was much less popular in the feedback that you got from Aucklanders, but why did you decide to go with this in the end?
Basically because I think when we went out to consultation on the two different rate rises, we didn't know that we would have another $224 million to find in capital for water care. And I don't think there's an Aucklander out there that thinks that we shouldn't go on, as soon as we get these water consents off the regional council, that we shouldn't go ahead and start building those treatment plants, one in Papakura, one in Tuakau, because the last thing Aucklanders want is to run dry. Look, the difference between 2.5 and 3.5 on the average property worth about $1 million is 47 cents a week. Now that's and the 3.5% I think totals $1.82 a week more than what people were paying last year. For a great many people, that won't be onerous. For those that are really suffering from the effects of COVID-19, they've lost their job, they might have lost their business, their income's gone down sharply. We've put $50 million aside to allow people to postpone their rates without penalty. They'll still have to pay the interest on the money and a small administration fee, but we'll give them the chance to get back on their feet. And that's the most important thing that we can do. If we'd gone, you know, even though it's only 47 cents a week for, you know, a million-dollar property, for council it was something in the vicinity of $60 million worth of infrastructure projects that would have to be canned and another $17 million cut in services.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, we've already cut to the bone. We are... Effectively, we will have laid off at the end of this year 1,100 of our staff members, and that's really tough for them, tough for all of us actually. We can't go lower than that. We can't slash into the services that people badly need. You know, we contemplated: do you cut hours in the library? Do you stop maintaining your playgrounds?
Yeah.
Do you stop picking up inorganic collections? None of those are things that you'd even want to contemplate. Do we stop investing in the future and the infrastructure we need, which means that at a time of recession, we're part of the problem.
Yeah.
We're not part of the answer in there. So what we've really been able to do in this budget that's great is that we've kept our vital services intact, including the libraries. You know, quarter of a million people a week using the library. That's a pretty amazing service. But we've also we will spend on infrastructure this year, on transport, infrastructure for housing, infrastructure for environmental protection, $2.5 billion. That compares with $1.6 billion on the average of the last 5 years. So, you know, we want to be part of the solution coming out of a recession, creating jobs in the construction industry, not turning down those projects that would take then 2 or 3 years for the construction industry to recover from before we got back to doing that building.
Well,
so, look, I think we've got a good balance in our budget. Every one of our 21 local boards, first time ever in history, voted for 3.5. 18 out of 21 councillors voted for 3.5. The two of the other three probably would have gone for the 2.5.
Well, I do want to touch base on some of those infrastructure projects, particularly the money that the government has now put aside for Auckland's shovel-ready projects. But I do want to just go back to some messages we're getting in on the text machine in here, kind of about this... I guess this water situation that we're in, but also COVID. Both of these were not necessarily things we could anticipate. They are unusual events, but we've had quite a bit of feedback about the water situation, for example, being something we might see more frequently with climate change. And we have talked about this with you before, Phil, but
yeah.
I am interested, what is the council doing now for future planning? Are we thinking about how we might, as a city, have to use water differently? Because obviously where we get our water from is one thing, but how we're using it is also another thing. Is that something council is thinking about at the moment?
Yeah, look, even though we've probably got the second lowest per capita consumption of any region in the country for water, and we've pulled the consumption for water per person down from, I think it's 200 litres to 157 litres a day, we need to look at how we use water and not to waste water, and all those messages are out there. We will have as a backstop the Waikato with the extra consents that we have that will
help us in the medium. Do you think we need to have a culture shift about perhaps how we talk about water? Obviously, the reduction we're seeing at the moment is kind of to do with the temporary situation we're in of water restrictions. Do you think it's time to have a proper conversation about how we're using water?
Yeah, look, I think we've got to value it more as a resource. You know, I've been on tank water for 30 years, so I've always been, you know, when you live on tank water, you know that you've only got so much and you conserve your water. But I think, I think as a whole, because water is relatively cheap in Auckland compared to either the rest of the country or most places around the world, we tend to think of it as a free resource. Well, actually, it isn't, with the cost of the infrastructure we've got to build to provide it. But there are a couple of other things that I want to add into that particular thought. One is the use of tank water, and we're just at the moment going out saying, look, now we're not charging for resource consent for tanks in urban areas. If you can put even if you're in a relatively small section, put a slimline tank in, because that way you can save the winter rain and use it on your garden during the summer when you won't be able to use your garden hose. We've already put that warning out. For people in rural areas, I think with the drought last summer, we distributed 44 million litres of water to rural dwellers that didn't have reticulated water supply. Now's the time to put another tank in. I've got three 25,000 litre tanks, and I never run short of water. So it's worth making that investment. I think the tank's $2,000 or $3,000. But once you've got the tank in, plastic tank, easy to install, then you're protecting yourself, because we can't guarantee this next summer that we'll be able to provide that extra water service to those that aren't on a reticulated water supply. The final thing I'll just add in there is it's the yuck factor, I suppose, for some people, but we're going to have to look at what the circular economy means in environmental terms, and look at recycling our wastewater. Two benefits of that: one, you're not putting partially contaminated water into your harbours anymore. Two, you've got a guaranteed supply of water that will be purified to the extent that it is absolutely safe, clean, and wholesome to drink. And we've got to make this big choice: do we continue to rely on the Waikato, or do we start thinking about recycling our wastewater? That's one of the big decisions that will be up in front of us this year.
Well, just very briefly before we let you go, Phil, I did just want to touch base on the $182 million of shovel-ready investment that the government has announced for transport projects around Auckland. Could you just give us a very brief overview of what that's going to look like in terms of the big ticket items?
Well, four projects. One that we've got under construction now and will be finished by early next year, which is the Puanui Rail Bus Interchange, which means that you'll be able to catch the train to Puanui, beautiful new interchange station there, then hop on a bus that will go down a bus lane and get you to the airport without congestion. Secondly is stage one of the ferry basin development, already underway, and that's going to produce, I think, five or six new ferry berths on the western side of Queen's Wharf, so that we can promote more ferry travel and keep up with the demand for ferry travel. Two new projects that we hadn't budgeted for that the government will now meet: $100 million going into improving the northwestern motorway with bus lanes and interchanges there, which will potentially, cut half an hour off in peak time from Westgate through to the city, which will be really great. And finally, and this is where we launched it on Saturday, $37 million into a walking and cycling path connecting New Lynn and Te Aritu in West Auckland along the Faux River. And it will be absolutely spectacular, connecting, I think, about 33 different reserves, five different communities. It will be one of the iconic areas that you can walk and cycle down for students getting to school, commuters getting to work, or people just using that for recreation and going down the length of the Faux River on a specially constructed walkway. Be fantastic.
That does sound exciting. Hey, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We'll chat to you again
next Tuesday. Look forward to it.
Cheers. See you then.
Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
It's